Hey guys, welcome back to the Lambo Speak podcast. This is episode 28. We're covering the week 15 letdown by the Green Bay Packers to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, coming to you again from my cramped and crowded room here in South Jersey. I'm flying solo tonight. Nate's been going through a lot at work recently. They've had some people go, and there's only two men on his crew right now, so he's going to be looking forward to a really nice paycheck, but unfortunately, I'm going to be flying solo tonight. So you can find us on Twitter at Toilets to Titles. I'm Bobby A. Winter. You can also find our written work at toiletstotitles.com. And if you're watching on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe button. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a 5-star review. And if you would like to get involved in our Gilded chat, just reach out to either Nate or I, and we can get you an invite. We discuss anything in there from NFL football to college football to just life, gambling stuff. So yeah, if this is the kind of content that you're into, you would absolutely love to participate in our Gilded chat. So just hit us up. So the Packers lost. So at the beginning of the game, it seemed like they had a good plan, right? Get Aaron Jones the ball. Aaron Jones has missed a ton of games so far this year, and he came out like pretty hot, you know, in typical Aaron Jones fashion. You know what I mean? We should be feeding Aaron Jones as much as possible. He ripped off that huge run for a first down on his first carry, and I was like, yes, here we go. Aaron Jones is back. Only for Matt LaFleur to completely abandon the run again in the second half. Aaron Jones actually ended up finishing with over 4 yards per carry. He had 13 carries for 53 yards, which, you know, for how he's played so far this year is pretty good. I don't understand why he was kind of taken out of the game plan for the second half. I do understand that with the emergence of Tucker Kraft and Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed, which we'll get into later, that he got a little pass happy, but, you know, and they were also down for the majority of the game for another reason we'll get into, but Aaron Jones should have been a bigger factor in the game, especially with how well he was playing in the beginning. Jordan Love put together another decent game. I feel like he's really hit his stride. He was, you know, by no means perfect. There was a couple of missed throws, especially on that first drive, that out route. He just flat out missed the guy. It was just a terrible throw. But I mean, he finished actually with almost 300 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 29 for 39. So, I mean, for all intents and purposes, like, he played well enough to win this game. The problem was the defense. And I mean, it's kind of strange because, you know, for the last 30 years, it's always been, oh, it's the defense's fault. It's the defense's fault. And then once they finally have a good defense, like, they win a Super Bowl, you know, and for the vast majority of the year, the defense was actually holding its own. This is the first game that they've let a team just really run away. And it seems like the Packers offense, no matter how well they were playing, they just couldn't keep up. So a lot of people are going to say it's Joe Barry. It's Joe Barry. Joe Barry should be fired after this game. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I've been kind of defending Joe Barry a lot. You know, I feel like the players out on the field really determine more than like a defensive game plan or the play calling, because they can make adjustments depending on how the other team's offense comes out. They can call audibles. I mean, they have somebody with a mic on listening to Joe Barry. And if Joe Barry sees them doing something else, he can make a change or have them make an audible. But this game was absolutely on Joe Barry. I mean, if you look at the play calling, it's just third and short, and they have all these players, like, the play calling just doesn't make any sense. They have corners playing 8 to 10 yards back when it's 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. They have in the previous games, the play calling in the red zone, it makes no sense. Short yarded situation in the red zone, they're at the 2 or 3 yard line and they have 2 down defensive linemen. How does that make any sense? Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not like a, you know, I haven't studied football, but as a normal fan or somebody who just, you know, watches a game or two every Sunday, I'm just like, hey, I play Madden and I wouldn't do that. You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's kind of hard to justify why this guy still has a job with his resume and all the things that he's done so far this year, be it, you know, every time that the defense actually does make a play and they put the opposing team back in like a 2nd and long or 3rd and long situation, it seems like it's 2nd and 15. And all of a sudden they let up a 16 yard gain. or it's third and 18, and all of a sudden they let up a 24-yard pass. It's just like anytime they make any sort of progress to push the team, to push the opposing team back, they just immediately let it up because he moves into these soft call defenses of keeping everything in front of them, but it doesn't work. I don't know if they just don't have the horses to play how he wants this defense to be played. And it's not for a lack of trying, because all of our first round picks, except for Jordan Love, have been defensive players. Like the team is riddled with talent. They just can't put it all together. And at this point, like when a team is playing this poorly or they can't put it together, that says to me that it's got to be on the coaching. You know, that kind of leads me to the other thing. I think, you know, with everything that's been going on with Jair Alexander and DeAndre Campbell, that I think that they've lost the defensive locker room. I don't think Joe Barry, the players have any trust left in him, because if you've looked at Jair Alexander's Twitter, he started reposting a whole bunch of stuff from 2019. And if you remember in 2019, he had a really good year. And also Joe Barry wasn't the defensive coordinator back then. So I don't know if that is like more of a clear message to the team than that. I know he did pull down a lot of stuff on his socials that was like Packer related and stuff like that. But if there isn't a clearer message other than, hey, look at how awesome this was in 2019 before he showed up. I mean, it straight up says it. And Devondre Campbell, I feel terrible because it seems like, you know, the guy's always constantly playing through injury. When he's healthy, he's really good. But I mean, there were plays in that last game where you're looking at it and you're like, how is this dude all pro? You know, I get it. If he's injured, if he's not playing at 100%, I feel bad. You know what I mean? But like some of these run fits, it just doesn't make any sense. Like he's just not where the ball is, you know? And it sucks to see because, like, honestly, I'm a huge Devondre Campbell fan. I think he's a really good football player, but there's times, especially this year, that he just looks lost out there. And I don't know how much of that is instinctual or how much of that is him playing the run fit he's to play calling Barry. So Joe Barry, a lot of people are saying, you know, oh, well, he should be fired right now, or he should be fired at the end of the year. And some people are on the opposite thing. They're saying, you know, because he's so close with Matt LaFleur, or he was one of Matt LaFleur's guys when they were working together in LA, that they're never going to get rid of him. And with how timid Matt LaFleur can be with confrontation and stuff like that, they don't think that they're ever going to move on from him, or they're going to move on from him too late. I don't think that's the case. I mean, if I were to put money on it, I would think that Joe Barry's gone by the end of the year. It would not surprise me, actually, if next week, if they let up another huge performance to if not the worst team in football, one of the worst teams in football, the Carolina Panthers, they cannot let him come out and start looking like the second coming of Joe Montana or something. If that happens, Joe Barry should be fired by the end of the game. Like, they shouldn't let him on the bus. They should tell him he needs to find another way home, because this team should be playing a lot better than how it's playing. It is so much talent, so much first round talent. They have players that are Pro Bowl players. They have players that are previously all pro players, and they let up 33 points to Baker Mayfield, which, I don't get me wrong, I'm actually a big Baker Mayfield guy. I was very upset to see how things played out for him in Cleveland. And I actually really liked him in college. Some people don't like that bravado that he has. You know, it's kind of similar to like what Jair has. It's like that arrogance or whatever, because he knows he's good. I totally dig that. Well, first of all, especially in my corners, I think Jair is the man and he's really good. I mean, he should absolutely be able to say whatever he wants to say, because he's one of the best, if not the best football player on our team. It's been a shame that he hasn't been playing recently, and I really don't know what's going on with that. I don't know if it's injury related, because he's missed, I think, 6 games now. So he could have been placed on IR, because right now he's just using up a roster spot. If he were put on IR, maybe we can get some other players in the secondary to kind of see what they have available. More running backs, because it seems like the running back position has kind of been like an open door at RB3 with the injuries sustained all season right now. So another thing with the defense is the defense actually created some sacks this week, which they didn't do against the Giants, which kind of blows my mind with how poor the Giants' offensive line has played all year. They're the offensive line that has let up the most sacks in the NFL, and they literally couldn't get to DeVito once. But they actually got to Baker Mayfield four times. The problem was any time that they made a play like that, it just didn't rattle him. You know, they were trying to get into his face, but Baker played with a poise that like you'd almost never seen him play with before. And I have to give him credit. He made some incredible throws. There was that throw over the head of Quay Walker. It seemed like when he threw that ball, he didn't care that Quay was even in the area, that he knew he was going to make this pass and make it perfect and put it right where it needed to be. Like he just was unfazed. And honestly, that kind of falls to Joe. It kind of falls on Joe Barry. Joe Barry should have created a better plan to fluster Baker Mayfield. Now, I know Baker's used to playing in the outdoors and he's used to playing in the cold from all of his years playing up in Cleveland and playing in the AFC North, but the rest of the team isn't. You know, they're a team that plays in South Florida half the year. So they should, or excuse me, in North Florida half the year. So they should have had a different plan to create more pressure on him. Even though they did get home four times, they weren't doing enough to rattle him, to get him off of his spot. And he was completing passes, like making him look like a Pro Bowler. It was insane. It was really hard to watch. So what we did like, so I'm a huge fan of Dontayvion Wicks now. This dude plays nasty. He is a dog. Like Jaden Reed, he is probably wide receiver one on this team right now. He's everywhere. And it seems like he can do everything. He can get vertical. He can run these crossing routes. He creates separation. He makes run after the catch. He plays physical. But man, Dontayvion Wicks, he played physical on Sunday. He was out there looking like AJ Brown, breaking tackles and stuff. And there was a perfect example. There was a pass that he caught and he was like, his trajectory was about to take him out of bounds. But instead he stops himself, cuts back inside into the field and picks up another 5 yards while carrying defenders to the ground. It was incredible. I was like, dude, this guy is a rookie and he's playing like he doesn't care. He plays like I am going to pick up every possible inch that I can get and show this team that I'm the real deal and that I should be starting on this team. And I'm not going to lie, man, if he keeps putting games together like this, I mean, he had 6 receptions for 97 yards. He averaged over 16 yards a catch. Dude was all over the place. He was a dog like that. If that was probably the biggest bright spot of this game was seeing this emergence from Dontayvion Wicks. I'm a huge fan of this rookie class. I feel like Brian Gutekunst really had a good 2022 and a very good 2023 draft. And that's followed up by, you know, Jaden Reed and Tucker Kraft. Tucker Kraft, it seems like he is good for 4 catches for almost 60 yards every single game. It's going to be awesome when him and our other tight end, I apologize, Luke Musgrave, when him and Luke Musgrave are going to be on the field at the same time, man, I would love to see some packages like that where you don't know which one's going to leak and which one's going to block. And it's just going to be awesome. It seems like Tucker Kraft, he's really starting to come into his own. I kind of described him before the year started as like a jack of all trades, but a master of none. But he's just like, he's good at everything. You know what I mean? Like some tight ends like Luke Musgrave, he's like super athletic and, you know, he was going to be like that stretch tight end and stuff like that. He blocks, it's more like effort blocking. But Tucker Kraft, man, the dude can catch, the dude can block. He has effort, like he cares, he's excited. You see him on the sidelines, like, you know, rallying the dogs out there. Like, man, it is so cool to watch. It's so cool. I'm a big Tucker Kraft fan. I was going into the year and I feel vindicated now seeing him play well and earn this playing time, even though it is based off injury. I think that once Luke Musgrave does come back off IR, that Tucker Kraft should continue to be on the field. And Jaden Reed doing Jaden Reed things. He had another 6 catches for 52 yards and he had that beautiful touchdown in the end zone. He completely stopped his momentum and did that toe tap touchdown. That was a pro move right there coming from a rookie. So Jaden Reed, keep doing your thing. In my opinion, wide receiver one on this team. Romeo Dobbs, you know, he had his couple of catches. I don't really know why he isn't as big of a in the game plan as he should be. I mean, he's a second year. He's the veteran wide receiver right now on the team with Christian Watson being injured. Dobbs, you know, he has a couple of catches a game and he looks good when he has those catches. I'm kind of shocked that two rookies combined had 12 catches and Romeo Dobbs only had three. So I don't know. Maybe it's just Jordan Love. Maybe Jordan Love trusts these new guys more. So that'll be an interesting thing to see, like how this kind of plays out going into next year, because with how young this offense is, all these guys are going to be staying together. I mean, these are going to be our wide receivers for the next 3 to 4 years, you know? So seeing the evolution of this and seeing who gets more play time and who's actually going to be more productive than others, because I have to be honest with you, going into the year, I did not think that Jaden Reed was going to be as productive as he was. I didn't think that he had the skill set that Romeo Dobbs or Christian Watson had. And I was clearly wrong. Jaden Reed can do everything. That guy's incredible. He's taking carries. He's catching like over the middle. He's catching deep. Like this dude, it creates separation like better than anybody on the team, except for Dontavian Wicks. Dontavian Wicks is starting to look like a huge steal in the fifth round. I know Jaden Reed was a second rounder, and in my opinion, he's playing up to the billing or even probably exceeding it, especially as a rookie. Dontavian Wicks in the fifth is starting to look like a huge steal. So I could not be more thrilled, and I think all Packers fans should be as well. Nothing really about the defense. I mean, Kenny Clark had two sacks. You know, Kenny Clark, he's kind of like hot and cold with that kind of stuff. You know, he'll have a game where he's like pretty dominant, and then there's games where it's like you don't even know if he's out there. This was one of those games that Kenny Clark was pretty dominant. Lucas Van Ness got another sack. That was one thing that kind of, you know, made me kind of curious as to why Lucas Van Ness isn't getting as much play time. I mean, he was a pretty high draft pick. They took him with the 12th overall pick. You would think that, you know, by this point in the year that he'd be out there a little bit more. They're putting him out in like obvious passing situations and stuff like that. So obviously when you're playing a team that's up by one or two scores, you're not anticipating them to throw the ball quite as much. So that I get, but you know, even in all the other games over the last couple of weeks, I thought you'd see him out there a little bit more. Eric Stokes finally made his return. He did not play well, but again, you know, he hasn't played football in over a year. So, yeah, Mike Evans kind of cooked him a little bit, which stunk, but, you know, sometimes you got to shake the cobwebs off, especially in a position like that, where your athleticism is everything and your instincts are everything. Sometimes you just got to go out there and play football a little bit before, you know, this is what training camp and preseason are all about, you know, which he didn't get to participate in. You know, you have to get back into football shape and get back into that football mentality. And he really didn't have the opportunity to do that. And unfortunately had a very tough test with Mike Evans. So, which is, you know, he's probably a future Hall of Famer. So, special teams was fine. It was nothing to write home about, but it also didn't cost them the game. And honestly, at this point, that's really all you can hope for when it comes to special teams. I mean, Keyshawn Nixon still does his thing. You know, if he can, you know, have a really nice kick return or punt return, okay. But honestly, just don't fumble the ball and don't commit penalties and we'll be fine. You know, the offense is good enough now that I feel like they can move the ball up and down the field. The defense just needs to keep them in the game to give them a shot, you know? If the defense can really tighten up, and I don't know if it's going to happen under Joe Barry, but if they can start playing with, you know, just like a different mentality or honestly a different scheme, because I mean, sometimes you look at these safeties and they're playing out in like Siberia, you know, playing 40 yards off the line of scrimmage when I'm like, guys, it's third and six. What are we doing here? You know what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense to me. So, I mean, something's got to change, you know, and it sucks because it seems like for the last 10 years, it's just been, hey, it's the defensive coordinator's fault. It's a defensive coordinator's fault. And it seems like we can't hire a good defensive coordinator. The last time I think the Packers actually felt optimistic about their defensive coordinator was Dom Capers in the Super Bowl run. You know, in 2009, 2010, when they hired Dom Capers, they switched to the 3-4 defense. They loaded up the defense. They drafted Clay Matthews. Obviously, they had Charles Woodson and A.J. Hawk in the middle. They had a ton, Al Harris, a ton of really good players. And the defensive change was the thing that kind of put it all together. Now, obviously, it didn't last, and Dom Capers got chased out of town with Porsche pitchforks chased out of town with pitchforks. So it was just, I don't know. It just seems like sometimes it's harder to find a defensive coordinator that is good for a long time. And I think that the Packers, if they are going to find one, they need to look outside of their comfort zone. I feel like maybe not going with somebody who's friends with McVay or somebody who he coached with in Los Angeles or something like that. I swear to God, if they hire Brandon Staley, I'm going to eat a shoe. Like, I'm going to lose my mind. You know, if they just hire, because Staley was the exact same thing. Their defense was so similar to the Packers defense, and they were saying all the same problems about the Chargers defense. I mean, we talked about it a few weeks ago when they were playing the Chargers. It's the same thing. They have a whole bunch of stars. They have a whole bunch of really good players, good names on the team, and the defense just plays poorly. And that's obviously a reflection of the coaching and the defensive scheme and the play calling. You know, when you have Khalil Mack out there and he's not doing Khalil Mack things, and you have Joey Bosa out there, and you have, like, it's just, they're loaded with really good players and they're playing defense very similar to the Packers. I feel like they need a complete overload. I wouldn't be surprised if they completely change scheme, like to go to a guy that, you know, wants to play in a 4-3. And it seems like the Packers are always just going to keep drafting defense in the first round anyways. So if that's the case, like if they want to do like what they did back in 2009 when they hired Capers and they completely changed the defensive scheme and they needed to draft players that would fit this scheme, I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong. For the last 6-7 years, I've been hoping that they would draft a skill position player, an offensive skill position player in the first round. If they fire Joe Barry, somebody, well, or somebody who wants to change the scheme completely, and, you know, maybe like a new up and coming guy that, you know, people think very highly of, but he quite hasn't proven himself yet as a coordinator yet. Maybe like Al Harris, you know, I mean, I wonder if Brian Gutekunst still has Al Harris's phone number. If he does, he absolutely should forward it to Matt LaFleur, and they should be talking in the off season because, I don't think there could be a hire that would excite Packer fans more than Al Harris. That would be amazing. I think it might be tough to take him from Mike down in Dallas, especially we have to see what happens with their defensive coordinator. Cause it seems like he might be up for a head coaching job with how well he's been calling the defense down there in Dallas for the last couple of years. So if he promotes him, you know, it'll be kind of hard to take him if the promotion's on the table already down there in Dallas. But, you know, he's a past Packer player, and I'm sure he's thought about, you know, when he was trying to become a head coach, or not a head coach, but a defensive coach, you know, how cool would it be to coach for the Packers? That thought had to have crossed his mind, you know? Next week, if they lose that game, the walls are going to be lit on fire in Lambeau Field. And I think all the morale around this team will be gone. So next week is absolutely a must win. They have to beat the Panthers. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, the Panthers are not a good team. Their starting quarterback, it seems like he was the wrong player to take number one overall, and they're going to be reeling from it for the next 3 years. It could also be just because the team isn't very good around him, but CJ Stroud is playing like the man down in Houston. I mean, Houston was perpetually the worst team in football for the last 3 years. CJ Stroud comes in, and now all of a sudden they're a potential playoff team. It seems like the Panthers might be regretting that decision for at least the next 3 years as their first round picks go to Chicago. So, guys, thank you very much for listening. Again, please find us on Twitter. I am at Bobby A. Winter. This has been a Toilets of Titles production. I'm going to see you guys next week. Have a Merry Christmas if you guys celebrate. Happy New Year's, and have a happy holiday.